I want to minister something that's been on my heart for a while now. Something that we need to talk about. It will affect our individual lives. It will affect our marriages. It will affect this church. If we don't establish something that God has established in this word, and here's the word. You ready? It's called authority. Write that down. Authority. I believe the believers, the Christian church, has not really understood that word authority. And it has affected a lot of things in the kingdom of God. Just that one word, authority. Have you ever been in a situation where someone says, by what authority do you have, you know, do you have room to talk to me like that? I mean, what authority? What gives you the right to say these things to me? You know, Jesus had to deal with the very same thing. A lot of times, even the disciples, when they would declare, what's your authorization? What authority do you have to speak to me in this manner? Well, what has happened, I believe, is people and believers give their lives to Jesus and they really don't know the authority that they have as a believer in Jesus Christ. But man, when you find out the authority you have, that's when you can speak to the mountain. Whatever mountain is in your life today. Because I'm sure as we go across this crowd, and if I did it, and I won't, but if I did, the mountains that people are struggling with right now might be minor, but they could be major mountains. And as I believe Cleve said, a lot of times we just hold it on the inside and we don't let anybody know what the mountain is in our lives. But when you know the authority that you have in Jesus Christ, you can literally say to that mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. In other words, in cowboy terms, you're just saying, devil, you ain't messing with me no more. Get behind me, Satan. Get back under my feet. Shouldn't have let you up anyway. And it all deals with authority. Say that word with me, authority. Because you got to know the authority that you operate under, the authority under the churches, under the church even. And there's four uses of it that I found out. Number one, if you have a pen, and we're going to go to some word here in just a little bit, but number one, authority is the freedom or the right. Make sure this thing is plugged in good. The freedom or the right to act without hindrance. What one thing we need to understand and declare today is all authority begins with God. For there is no authority except from God. Would you agree with that? And we have to establish that this morning so that here in just a little bit this is going to make a lot of sense to you. You know where the Bible says to be doers of the word, not just a hearer only? You know, and last time I was here, I got about 25, 30 people up here, and we just began. I said something to the first one, and as y'all know, by the time it got all the way to, well, I didn't even say it. I just did something, and then they were to turn around and do exactly what I did to the first person, to the next person. And by the time we got to the end, man, it was changed dramatically. Well, being a doer of the Word of God is very important, but in order to be a doer of the Word of God, it has to be by the authority of God, you see. Here's the second thing, a use of the authority in the church is the concept of authority refers to the power, the ability, and the capability to complete an action. That's why we're to be doers of the Word of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but just write it down. I believe it's in verse 6 through 8. Jesus was given, this is where Jesus was given the authority to forgive sins. Matthew 9, 6 and 8, 6 through 8. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 7, is where you and I have been given the authority to drive out spirits. I've been dealing with a lot of things on the road this year, and you know, just the spirit of alcohol, the spirit of addiction. I mean, wow, it's amazing that the marriages out there in the rodeo, at the rodeos, that are being destroyed by some of these things. And so while I was counseling one person, I began to try to help them understand that, you know, alcohol is a spirit. And man, if it gets all over you and controls you, then you've got to know that spirit of alcohol has no right. Has no right to control you. But how do you get freed from that? How do you get delivered from that spirit of alcohol? Under the authority of the Lord. Under the authority of God. The authority in the name that's above every name, Jesus. That at His name, every demon has to flee. Well, a lot of people don't know that they have that authority. They don't even know how to pray. A lot of times when people pray, they say, Jesus, help me. When really, that's not the right way to pray. And I'm not saying you don't call out to the Lord Jesus, but when you pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's why Jesus told us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know the rest of the prayer. But did you notice it started out Jesus saying, you pray to the Father, but then you pray in the name that's above every name, and that's the authority that you operate under as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't establish that when you give your life to Jesus and you get born again or you get saved, then you're going to have some trouble serving the authority. But man, when you know, and let me back up, because the Spirit of God just reminded me of something. The problem with believers, all of us, is we think that the sin in our life is bigger than the authority that we operate under, Jesus. So the sin then will tell us, no, you're not worthy. The sin will tell us, yeah, but I can't believe you would be talking, oh, holier than thou over here, but what you did yesterday called sin. And you know, and the devil's just trying to push us further down. But when you understand the authority that you have to use the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus Christ that lives on the inside of you, that you can use His name, I'm telling you, that's when the devil has to flee. Now, you're submitted to him, of course, because the Bible says if you're submitted to God and you resist Him, He'll flee from you. Yeah, but what if He comes back? Well, then you resist Him again. If He comes back, you resist Him again, and then eventually He'll go seeking whom he may devour somewhere else, because he's not going to be able to get you as a believer in Jesus Christ, because you have tapped into the authority that you are actually under through Jesus Christ. Say amen to that, y'all. Now, here's the third use of authority. It's used with reverence to delegated authority in the form of a warrant, a license, authorization to perform, and etc. In other words, this is where Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23, this is where Jesus was asked by whose authorization he taught. This is where pastors give people authority in particular churches to teach, to usher, to be the associate pastor, etc., to teach our children. You have to understand that under the authority of Jesus, there's still order in the church. There's still the pastor under Jesus. Jesus, way up there. Pastor, this is just in the church. In your personal life, you know, it's Jesus, and then your relationship with him, and then if you're married, your spouse, and then if you have children, they're under that, and then it just keeps going down the line. And people get all this stuff so mixed up, but in the church, in this particular church, when I give someone the authority to stand up here and preach this gospel, then I give them that authority. But if I ever say, howdy, you do not have the authority to stand up here and preach any longer, then he don't have the authority to get up here. And one Sunday, just because he wants to, he doesn't have the authority to get up here unless by the Spirit of God, God told me to give him that authority. And thank God I've given him that authority, and he does a great job. Amen. It's the same, though, with other areas of the church, like being a head usher. It's amazing how much fighting you can get from, you know, just the ushers and children's ministry and the greeters and, you know what? And when people don't understand their authority, ooh, man, then you start hearing all the backbiting. Hey, I don't like what he did. I don't like that they're sitting in my seat. I don't like how he handled that. Well, really, if you was understanding authority, you don't have a right to say you don't agree with this or that. You just ought to operate under authority, and you'll have a lot better time in the church. You see. Now, I've never been afraid. But it doesn't matter to me. I told the Lord a long time ago. I said, Father, you started this church, and you'll finish it. And I will not allow the spirit of division. And it's not here, thank God. But I'm here to tell you, it tries to get into every single church. You'll have someone offended over something, and they'll leave. And then, for too long, hopefully they'll come back and just understand that no one's perfect. But when we operate under the authority that God's given all of us, and in the particular church, we operate under the authority of the pastor, not control. I need to say that. Say amen to that. I think so many times our pastors try to control everything. Well, I've been accused of not controlling enough, because I just refuse to micromanage. We had Sweet Mary come, and can I tell them what you're going to be or not yet? Okay. Well, what I like is that when we give someone the authority to do something, I don't micromanage it. And that's what I told people. I've told them, I'm not going to go to the youth group and see if they're teaching correctly. I'll find out if they're not. I mean, the Spirit of God, it'll come to me somehow. If they're not doing things correctly over there when they teach our youth group, or if they're not doing things correctly with the children's ministry, I don't feel like I need to just put my thumb on it, and I need to allow them to have the freedom to grow in Jesus Christ. Amen? And yeah, sometimes we do make mistakes. God forgive us, and y'all forgive us. But here's why I'm saying all this, is when we start operating under the authority that God gave us and in the right order, I'm telling you, that's when you'll start seeing revival. You know what else you'll start seeing? You'll start seeing people healed by the power of God. You'll start seeing blind eyes literally be opened up in Jesus' name. You'll start seeing people walk in here that are in wheelchairs get up in the name of Jesus. You know, we used to see those kind of things back when. And we were, you know, oh, the Pentecostals, they're crazy. No, they just believed under the authority that they operated under. Don't get me wrong, some of them got squirrely. Some of them kind of got a little weird about it. And we don't need to get weird about it, but what's wrong with people being raised from the dead today? You still see it down in deep Mexico, I know. But you don't see it in Africa, they said. But you don't see it here. You know why? Because, man, we don't understand the authority that we operate under. We don't understand the power. That's the title of this message, the power of authority. Because, man, when we understand the power, someone comes in here saying the doctor is giving them 6 months to live because of cancer. You watch someone come in here and get healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Come on. Okay. It's because we need to learn the authority that we operate under. And as the pastor of a church, I have to constantly watch those kind of things, especially being gone. The enemy trying to come in here and cause division. Well, look what's going on. I mean, they say there's not very many people that come to church in the summer. And look at this crowd. It's a pretty good crowd, don't you agree? Why? Well, because people in this church are starting to find out the authority that they operate under and the power of the name that's above every name, Jesus. And man, I'm excited to continue to get deep in authority. Here's the fourth use of authority. There's authority in government, or it's government, it's judges, it's rulers, it's kings. They have authority. I mean, like Judge Edna Stout that plays the piano. I don't guess she's here today. Most of the band's gone, but she's got authority, right? I mean, when you stand before her, don't you think she has authority to do some things? Now, this hasn't happened, but if I was to get a ticket in Williamson County, or if you get a ticket in Williamson County, you're going to be standing probably, if you decide to fight it, or if you want to get it dismissed, in front of Judge Edna Stout. And if you come to this church, she has the authority to say, dismissed. She's told me that. I said, hey, if I was to make a mistake and get a ticket, would you dismiss it? She said, absolutely. I said, what'd you say? Now, I have to tell you that we just bought London a new car. We sold her truck last year, and she had to wait. She's like, do I ever get anything? Well, okay. You know what we got her? A Mustang. Brand new Mustang. I drove it to town last night, and she doesn't know it. Well, she does it now. I went up to Taco Bell, and since you just got the windows tinted, I couldn't roll the windows down, so I had to open the door and give the people money. I want y'all to know that thing goes fast. It has 10 gears. It says 160 miles an hour. I got to thinking while I'm driving that, what goofy parent would buy their child a car like this? Now, I drove it properly. Amen. Say amen. Well, at home, I didn't drive it properly because I wanted to see the power. There's a scripture that says, be quiet in the church. Son. It wasn't the fence, it was a tree. But... I think has some power, though. But look, if I stood in front of Judge Stout, she has the authority to say, ticket. Or she's got the authority to say, dismiss, see. But she's got the authority, you see. As a believer in Jesus Christ, do you understand that you have Jesus on the inside of you and God has given you the authority to use his name? That at his name every demon will flee, as we talked about? We're to pray in that name. There's power in that name to speak to a mountain. There's power in that name to, and the authority that God gave you and that God gave me to drive out every devil of addiction, every spirit that's trying to drag people down, trying to make that spirit their God. Satan has authority if you give it to him. He's got the authority to steal, kill, and destroy if you give it to him. And you know how most people give it to him? Their mouth. That's why you see me changing a lot of words to songs, because I understand the power, and I know those boys that write music know the power of words. Matter of fact, the Bible says that life and death are in the power of your tongue. That's why the Bible declares in Romans 10:9 that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou, whoever declares that, whoever confesses that, thou shalt be, say it with me, saved, born again. Because God knew that there's power in this mouth. I'm talking about it can cut. Ooh, wow. It can cut you. But man, when you know the authority that God has given you, you'll start speaking what God speaks. I remember one time we was going through a tough time in this church, right when we was starting to build it, we were still in the tent. Some of you remember. It was a tough time. And I remember there was some bunch of gossip that got started, and oh man, some crazy stuff, like the church bought my home and all my horses. I said, well, I wish they would have, because it was expensive, man. I remember one time the it spread that we were a beer drinking church. I don't know where that come from. I mean, just several rumors was starting in those early years, and so I had a group come, and they wanted to have a meeting with me. And I'll never forget them when we were talking about, why don't you come before you created this posse? Why don't you just come one at a time and make your request known to me? And I said, because, you know, you gotta be careful what you say, you know, and what you're gossiping about, you know, before you come to the pastor, the leader, the person that God gave the authority to. And I'll never forget one of them said, well, what are we supposed to say? And you know what I said? As quick as they said it, I said, well, you say the word. You say the word of God. You know, forget about all the gossip and all the hurts that you've been through, and the why did they do this to me, and why did he act like that, and why did she, you know, do that? No. It does. Those kind of things don't matter, because really we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against that spirit that's trying to cause division, that's trying to cause people not to know the authority that you operate under. I said, you say the word, because if you say the word, you're not going to say all the other junk, man's opinion. I have to watch out even behind this podium to not speak and declare my opinion. No, I want to speak the word of God, see. Jamie gave me 5 minutes, son. All of this is talking about authority. So real fast, let me give you four uses of authority that's most significant. Because the question of authority is a fundamental issue facing every person, especially the believer. Every person has an authority in this life. that he or she submits to as a conviction. And God created us to live under his authority. Say amen to that. Not unto your own authority. Because when someone chooses to live under a different rule, that is of self or an idol, and that is sin. We are to live only under the authority of God Almighty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, real fast, I want to give you, I'm going to give you three. I said four, but really there's three fundamental places of authority that God gives to us. And here's the first one, civil government. Real fast, turn over to 1 Peter. I want you to go there real fast. 1 Peter. It's towards the back of your Bible, and it's right before 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look with me, verse 13 and 14. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. I like that. I got the King James right here, but check out the Amplified version of 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14. Be submissive to every human institution and authority for the sake of the Lord, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to bring vengeance, punishment, justice to those who do wrong and to encourage those who do good service. The first fundamental place of authority is in civil government, and we need to understand that. The Bible says to obey the laws of the land. Just because we're under the Lord Jesus Christ, we still have to obey the laws of this land. If you go in speed in Williamson County, you're going to see Judge Edna Stout. So we have to understand that we are under some authority in that way. The second thing is the home. I want you to flip back to your left to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Say amen when you get there. Ephesians chapter 6. Because there's a fundamental place of authority in the home. Verse 1, ready? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. How many of you know that's an important thing? That you're not a friend to your child. You are a mom and you are a dad. And if they don't act right, then it's your responsibility to make sure that they act right in the authority that you have as a mom and as a dad. Now, you don't have the authority of someone else's kids unless you've been granted that authority like a teacher. Are you understanding this? But you've got the authority over your own kids, and by golly, you need to use that authority. Kids should honor their moms and dads. I know these kids do. Thank God my kids do. I'll beat their booty if they don't. Jamie will beat their rear if they don't. So I'm gone. In the home, though, I think it's very important that we understand the authority and the fundamental place that authority gives us, that we can train up a child in the ways that they should go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. Here's the third one, the church. The Bible is our authority. And let me tell you some problems that happen in the church. One of them is called lawlessness. It's a spirit of doing our own thing. I've heard this before. People come to this church and they'll feel like the Spirit of God gives them an assignment. And sometimes they'll come to the pastor, but a lot of times they won't. And they'll just start functioning that assignment that they feel like the Spirit of God gave them, without anybody knowing it. And then when the pastor, you know, tries to correct it, no, we already have someone in that position. I've heard before, even in this church, it's only happened just one or two times over the 15 years, people will say, well, it don't matter what you say because I'm not under your authority, I'm under God's authority. Well, that's when you start having division in the church. That's when you start having problems. No, I'm gonna do what God told me to do. Well, wait a minute. That's when you get out of order, because God's not going to cause you to get out of order. God's not going to cause you to be your own person, because then that's self. That's being all about self. And we're not about self. We're about the kingdom. In this church, there's an order. There is the Lord. Then God put Pastor Corey and Jamie. And then Howdy and Angela. And I mean, it's going down from there. But one thing that ruins the church is when the flock, after the church has been here for 100 years, comes for the first time and says, hey, I know how to do things better. What happens is they got out of authority. And before you know it, they've left the church that they were supposed to be at, and they start church hopping. They start going to find somewhere where they can operate under that false authority, you see. Guys, I'm telling you right now, we as a church get set free from that kind of thinking, that we don't understand the authority that God's given us, if we don't understand it, it's going to ruin a lot of areas of our life. But if we do understand it, I'm telling you, it'll set the church free. And that's when you start seeing revival. You'll start seeing people come here from everywhere. Not that the church is perfect and we don't make mistakes, but that there's a freedom in the spirit, that people are welcoming, that they understand authority, that they understand order. Because if you start talking about the order in your homes, it kind of be foolish for some other man to come into to Howdy's home and say, hey, I think I know how to train up your children better than you. And so step out of the way, son. You know what Howdy's going to do? What'd you say? What? Because he knows the authority that God gave him, right? Okay. It's the same in your life as it is in this church. God gave me and Jamie the authority. And thank God we've hopefully done a pretty good job. There's still people here. I'm not saying there hadn't been bumps and we hadn't made a few mistakes. We had to say, God, I'm sorry. Because we tend to do that often sometimes. But I'm telling you, that authority that God gave us, if we'll do it right, please forgive us if we haven't. I'm telling you, then people will go, ah, who cares about all that junk? Let's just grow the kingdom of God. And Father, wherever you have me in this church, if it's training up these children, man, and I implore you. Heidi calls me almost every single, or texts me before every single service and says, hey, we only have 2 people volunteered for the kids. And I'm talking about, it was just yesterday or the day before, and I said, well, let's leave all the kids in church then. I mean, if we don't have anybody that is wanting to volunteer because they're wanting to rest from their children or whatever, then let's just leave them in church. And I bet it's going to make a whole lot of people want to go volunteer for kids' church, because you have to deal with them. But you know what? When you have that spirit of authority and you understand, no, I am going to... Listen, Jesus said, I didn't come to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I think if we get the attitude of understanding authority and who we are in Christ Jesus, then our hearts are to be, I just want to serve. I just want to serve in this church. Yeah, but I don't like kids. Well, then something's wrong. Because God didn't make you to not like kids. Maybe you need to get a little bit of patience. I had someone the other day read James chapter 1. It talks about patience, man. Count it all joy. We need some patience. Listen to me. Get a hold of authority. Now, I'm not done with authority. I'm just done today. Because we've got to get a hold. Football. Right? We're fixing to get ready. I mean, football. Oh, man. I can promise you, ask any of these football players that go to this church. If they try to go and tell the coach what to do? Right? There's probably a good chance that a good player is not going to be in the position that he was in, because they don't have the authority to say anything to the coach as far as, you know, performing what the coach said. No, they need to do. How about military? Anybody in the military in here? Anybody that was in the military, don't be afraid. I mean, right, Bob? If you would have told your drill sergeant back when what to do, can you imagine that? Drop down and give me 20. No, sir, I dare you do it yourself. Oh, man. That wouldn't work, would it? Because he doesn't have the authority to talk to that man that way. But that man has the authority to say, drop, give me 20, son. Okay. This message, guys, will change every area of your life if you'll start understanding the authority that you operate under. As a believer, you operate under the authority of God Almighty and His Word. Say amen to that. In your home, your children operate under the authority of a mom and a dad. In the church, people operate under the authority of the pastor and the leaders that the pastor gave the authority to. And understand that. In civil government, we operate under the leadership, like it or not, of Donald Trump. He is our president. And we better like it. He is the president because people voted him into that office freely, and it was not the Russians that got him in. You understand that, right? And trust me, I'm not afraid. I told the governor, when I ate with the governor of Texas, I said, it's preacher's fault. And there were six other preachers there. What? I said, it's preacher's fault because we're afraid to get behind this podium and tell the truth, in fear of getting her 501c3 taken away. I am not afraid of that. I'm pretty sure if God called me to this position and gave me this authority, then He'll protect me. But there's authority. We cannot walk into the White House just because we want to. There'll be a gun pointed at your head. Why? Because they've got the authority. That cop, man, I'll tell you what, I want to jump. I wish I might go to heaven early. But if I was in New York and saw people throwing water on a policeman, I may go to heaven early, but I would fight. Because they have the authority given by our civil government to do their job. And by golly, all right, gosh, doggy. I better not go there. Well, Jamie will be giving me the... authority. Ladies and gentlemen, and it's important to understand authority. Don't get out of that authority. Stay under the authority that God's placed you under. Because Satan got out of the authority and wanted to become God. And we know what happened to him. He was kicked out of heaven. And he may have a little bit of authority and rule if we allow him to. But I'm here to tell you his rule is coming to an end one day. And I'm here to tell you, with just watching the news, I think that reign is coming to an end really fast, where Jesus may come at any time. If the clouds are gathered today, then you might say Jesus could separate them and appear. Because it's time that we get our lives in order. Stop being offended about everything and understand the authority that you've been granted and just walk in it. Maybe you need to walk in a little bit more in love. I'm okay with that. I try to walk in love and work on my love walk constantly. But walk in that authority in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? All right. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just everything you're doing here at church. Everything. Bless this church, sir. And bless the people of this church. God, thank you. Thank you for the ones that you have sent here that are so faithful. They are so faithful to just helping this church continue to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the authority that we walk and live under. Now, Father, if there's one person here that has never made Jesus Christ their Lord, do it now. If there's one person watching on this internet or on Facebook Live right now, I ask you to draw their heart to you in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning or if you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do that right now by praying a prayer with me. I'm talking about a place called heaven and a place called hell. You see, there's two places. And God doesn't want you to go to the latter, hell. He wants you to go to heaven. But He can't make you go there, not even God Almighty. He can tug at your heart, but since you have a will, you have the authority to say yes to God, and you have the authority to say no to Him. I'm asking you to submit to His authority and say yes, and receive Jesus, the Son of God. Receive Him. So what we're going to do is, if you've never made Him the Lord of your life, Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. I'm talking about if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven. You don't know if you'd go to hell. I'm asking you to choose heaven by praying this prayer and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. I'm going to ask all the believers in here, pray this prayer as well. You're not going to get saved again, but you're going to be praying with someone around you that have never received Jesus before, and we'll just pray it with them. We'll give them a little bit of confidence. But listen to me, if you've never asked Jesus to come in, when you pray it out loud, and you mean everything you pray. And I'm going to lead you in the prayer. You ready? And us believers, we'll just pray it all with you. So if you've never received Jesus, pray this prayer. Ready? Out of your mouth, believers, pray it as well. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. I make You my Lord. And I believe that You have been raised from the dead. And today, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer, or even if you're watching, man, somehow get a hold of us and let us know that you gave your life to Jesus. I'll send you a Bible. But if you're here in this audience and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you just did by praying that prayer, when I count to three, I'm going to just ask you, and I'm not going to have you come up. I'm going to ask you right where you're at, and don't you be afraid of it, of this. At the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up and say, that was me, and then just put it right back down. The reason I have you do that at this church, and I've asked our ministers to do the same thing, is we should never be ashamed of receiving Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible says that if you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. So don't ever be ashamed of receiving Jesus. But if you did it this morning for the first time, when I say three, raise that hand up, say that was me, and then just put it right back down. Would you do that with every bit of boldness? Ready? One, two, three, go. Anybody? Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Thank you. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I just prayed that prayer and I meant it. I gave my life to Jesus this morning. If you hadn't raised your hand, raise it up. Let me see it and then just put it right back down. Anybody else? Hallelujah. All right, look at me. I don't care if I got to swim to Africa and eat beetles for one to give their lives to Jesus, I would do it. And thank God one gave their life to Jesus this morning. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Now listen, if that was you that just gave your life to the Lord, we gave you a Bible, and inside that Bible there's a card. And I want you to know we want to help you. We want to help you receive the Lord. Start learning about Him. Amen? Come to church. We have a Bible study on Tuesday nights. 6:30. We need, church, that Bible study, we used to have at least 60-plus women and almost that amount of men. That Bible study needs to start growing again. I heard in the summer we're down to maybe 30 or whatever. That's where we learn each other, and that's where you can raise your hand and say, what does that mean? What? You couldn't do that in a church service because it would be out of order to say, what'd you say? I don't understand. Because this is more of a corporate service. But in Bible study, that's when you can say, man, I just don't understand this part. Amen? And so I encourage you to go to Bible study. Operate under the authority that God gave you. Amen? Did you have a good time this morning? I have no announcements, so stand. Pardon me. I want to, let's use that one. As y'all know, when I had Howdy call, I said, Howdy, call AJ and Cleve, call the Clarks. Call them and see if they can do the music this morning. They didn't say, yeah, I'm going to charge you, though. They've never done that. We just don't operate that way. Matter of fact, they'll make more by just believing God. And so in this bucket, they're the Alvarado Roadshow. In this bucket is where we want to bless them. I mean, our church will give them something, but, man, they came all the way from Nashville to be here. So would you just trust God, ask Him if He wants you to bless? Please do. And I want you to bless them. Amen? And didn't they do good? Great music. Love it, love it, love it. Cleve, AJ, thank y'all very much. Now, obviously, you see a product table back there. So go buy their stuff. That stuff is what helps them continue. Believe it or not, when I sell a CD, and when I minister at the College National Finals or at the National Finals, I mean, if I sell a CD, that $10, it helps pay the gas to get up there. I'm telling you. So check all that stuff out. They was telling me before they got hooked up with a major league, businessman, and they are writing no one has ever written songs for baseball. I told them about a Kenny Rogers song that when he throws the ball up and turns all the way around, I could sing that. Oh, I love. Well, they're writing songs just geared to baseball. I'm telling you, and they wanted it to be wholesome, you know. Check it out, amen? So, love you guys. Pray for me. I'll just be gone just another short time, and then I'll be back for good. And so, can't wait, amen? Love you guys very much. Father, thank you for today's service, for AJ and Cleve and whoever came with them. God, thank you, Lord, for them driving all this way just to do music. Bless them, sir. Bless them. And I just thank you, Lord, that just the love that is in this church and the people that receive the message that you give us, God, thank you for that. Now, Father, you don't stay here. The Word says you never leave us and you never forsake us. You get to go with us right now. So, Father, bless every person watching and that is here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.